You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Thank you for the worship team for leading us in worship, and hope you're just glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. My name is Randy Shivers. If you don't know who I am, I'm a shepherding minister here at Parkside, and I'm just so thankful to be a part of this family, and it's good to see everybody this morning. There is a big football game today that I've noticed that people are recognized there is a big football game today. If you didn't know, if you've been asleep, the Cincinnati Bengals are playing the Los Angeles Rams tonight, and it should be, hopefully it'll be a really, really good game. And I'm just curious, how many people in this room were not alive the last time the Bengals were in the Super Bowl? That's a lot of people. There you go. Okay, yeah, there we go. Not alive. How many of you were alive, but you jumped off that bandwagon a long time ago, and now you're back and forth? And let's be honest, how many of you there, and they're back on? Okay, there we go. Okay, okay. Now, how many of the faithful few have been on the bandwagon the whole time, and tonight is like, oh my, this is going to be great. Yes. Now, how many of you didn't care then and still don't care now? There you go. We got a few of those in the house too. Okay. So I tell you what, I just whatever pattern, whatever ritual, whatever thing you've decided that you need to do, do. I know some people didn't wear bingo gear today because I haven't worn it all season. I'm not going to jinx it. Not that we believe in, you know, superstition or anything like that. Or, you know, are people, you know, doing whatever they can to avoid jinxing the team? Like, we have anything to do with this game. Yeah. But I want you to know, this is a hat that I got from Ashlyn and Matthew and Everett and Lucy for Christmas. And as when I wear this hat during a game, they have not lost yet, the Bengals. So I am going to wear this tonight. I'm not putting it on now. Nope. I'm going to wait till the game tonight. But so, you know, whatever little thing we can do, it's kind of like, do you remember anybody watch that movie, Angels in the Outfield? You know, that's, if you haven't watched it, it's a fun little movie about little boys that want to be adopted. And they said, yeah, when the Angels win the pennant. Well, that wasn't going to happen. And so then the Angels come and help the Angels. You know, so in Cincinnati, if we're all doing this, you'll know what's going on. The Angels are here. And he just kept saying, it could happen. And that's what I've been saying, and it could happen. Here we go. It's really good. I hope that you have a good time, and I want you to know it would really be great if they win. And so, but I'm so glad you're here. And we started a sermon series last week called Who Was Jesus Talking To? And we're taking conversations, things that Jesus said, and who he said it to, and just kind of making us think about how these timeless truths that he said to people so a couple thousand years ago are still things we need to hear today. And I thought Matt did a good job last week of presenting what Jesus said when he said, come all to me who are weary and I will give you rest. I needed that last week. I really needed that last week. And I appreciate that. So today we're going to look at money. So we're going to look at a couple of conversations that Jesus had with wealthy people. And you're going, okay, that doesn't apply to me because I'm not wealthy. Well, before you go too much further, let me just challenge your thinking here, because first of all, if you're in the United States, you are living in one of the wealthiest countries in the world. According to the World Bank, did you know that the average per capita annual income worldwide is $10,298. Worldwide, that's the average annual income. And it takes countries like Norway and the United States to bring it up that far, I'm sure, because there are more countries below the United States than there is above. And the range is amazing. There's a country in East Africa called Burundi, and that the average income, annual income there is $280 for the whole year. That's what that would be the average income. And when you think about it, and then again, Norway is right up at $82,000 a year. The United States comes in at $56,000 a year. And again, so many people under. I mean, just, I was looking through this, I was just amazed. In Russia, The annual income, $9,700. In China, $8,200. Bolivia, $3,000. Haiti, $780. Ethiopia, $660. And Madagascar, I thought that's where all those cool little animals were, but they only make $400 a year. And I think it's safe to say that we live in a country where we have really got a lot to be thankful for. And you know, because it's really, again, I want to go back, it's really not just about money that you earn or money that you put in the bank. It's about your possessions. What do you own? What do you have? You know, I was reminded between service, I was talking to Janet Stout, and her and Vic went to Russia, and I've been to Ukraine, and it's interesting. When you go over there, they just think all Americans are rich. And because, well, no, we're not rich. We don't think ourselves rich. But yes, the people I stayed with, they had like three families living in one apartment because they can't afford a house. None of them, very few of them, have a car. What do we have? What are the possessions that we own? And then when you add on top of that, the fact that we've got education, a good education situation, we've got our talents, and we've got so many opportunities, we really need to just stop and be thankful and recognize, yes, we are wealthy. And Jesus had some things to say about wealth. And unfortunately, in our world, and even in the world when Jesus came, sometimes your place in the world was determined by your financial status, by what you had, what you owned, how much you made, what you did. And Jesus understood that. But this is what Jesus had to say about that. In Matthew 6, 19 to 21, he said, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So I want to ask a very hard question today. Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? Are you storing up treasures on earth, or are you storing up treasures in heaven? Last summer, we did kick off this Live Generously idea. I'm not sure it's a campaign or a program. I mean, we can call it whatever you want. But the idea is for every one of us to consider how we are living our life to carry out God's will, to carry out the great commandment to love God and to love others, to carry out the great commission, go and make disciples of the whole world. And we were told by Jesus himself that the harvest fields are ripe. There are people out there that need to know about Jesus. And our hope is to encourage each and every one of us to consider how to use our time, our talents, and our treasures that God has blessed us with to be a blessing to others. We are blessed to be a blessing. And when we are blessing, we get to experience a little bit more of the goodness of God. You think about it, time. I appreciate Greg's honesty in saying that's maybe an area where he's still working on. And all, a lot of us, we say, well, yeah, I can give money to that, but boy, I don't have time. And then we got the other people who say, well, I got time, but I don't have any money. But I'm just saying, we have to think about, because you know one thing about time? Every single one of us have been given the same amount of time. You may say, well, you know, it's out of balance in the other ways, but time, we all have 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week. We all get the same amount of time. What are we doing with it? How are you choosing to use your time? Are you using your time to being a blessing to others? That was important. That's what Jesus was trying to get across. We need to use our time to be a blessing to others. We've all got talents. Now you're going to say, well, I'm not as talented as this person or that person, but you have talents. You have things that you like to do. You have abilities that you like to do and that nobody else maybe can do. And I'm glad we're all differently wired that way, because it takes all of us to really make a beautiful impression on our world. We all have different talents. And what are you using your talents for? Are you using your talents for yourself, or are using your talents to be a blessing to others? And we've also all been entrusted with treasures. And now, again, we may compare ourselves to others and think, well, I don't have that much, or I have a lot, and you may know, but we all, it's really not about how much you have, it's about your attitude towards that and why you do the things you do, how you manage what you've been given. Is it about, I gotta get this, or is it about, I could use this in this way? We really need to ask ourselves that way, because even David, back in Psalms, recognized that the whole world and everything in it belongs to God. And when we realize that it really doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God, we've just been asked to manage things, and he may give some of us more to manage than others, not time though. he does, and that we are stewards of what God has given us, our time, our talent, and our treasures. So we're going to take a look at two people that Jesus had conversations with and kind of the difference of their encounter with Jesus. And the first one, if you want to get your Bibles out, you can turn to Luke 18, and it's going to be 18 through 27, and it's about the rich young ruler. And it's also recorded in Matthew and Mark. So three of the four gospel writers watched this encounter and thought, this is important, we're going to write this down and save this so that people from now on can read this and learn from this. So here's that account of Jesus and the rich young ruler. So follow along. A certain ruler asked him, Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All of these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. I'm sure he was just beaming. And then when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. See, there's the treasures in heaven. He gave a definition of what treasures in heaven is: selling your possession, giving to the poor. He said, and then he followed up with an invitation. Then come and follow me. But those are two different things. You know, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. Well, when he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard this asked, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus replied, which is something we all need to remember, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Now, in Mark's account, I'm going to add what Mark said to this, because in his account, he said when the young man came to him that he got down on his knees. He kneeled before, he ran to him and fell on his knees, which that may not seem like much, but I want you to think about that. You know, here's this guy, comes running to Jesus, falls on his knees. What can I do to be saved? And you wonder if it wasn't just a show, because here's what William Barclay, I read this in William Barclay's commentary. Said, this ruler addressed Jesus in a way which for a Jew was without parallel. In all the religious literature, there is no record of any rabbi being addressed as good teacher. The rabbis always said, there is nothing that is good but the law. So to address Jesus in such a way savored almost a fulsome flattery. So Jesus began by driving him and his thoughts back to God. You know, I think this wealthy young man was just looking for a pat on the back from this new rabbi who everybody was talking about. You know, what can I do? And he was expecting to say, well, you're doing what you need to do, that's good. But it was the second part that really got him. And Jesus said, you can't be focused on your own goodness, you need to be focused on God. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference between being good and being godly. And I think we need to wrestle with that and think about that. You know, even when we teach our kids, are we teaching our kids just to be good? You know, if you don't do bad things, or are you teaching your kids, or are you living a life where you are godly, where you're focused on God? Because Satan's biggest lie and biggest temptation is to get you to focus on yourself and what you can do and make you believe that you do not need God. And it happens subtly. We don't even realize we're doing it. I just got to take care of myself. And if I take care of myself, and that's not what Jesus said. Another observation was this wealthy man, he may have been on his knee, he may have been kneeling, but his heart was standing straight up. He was not humble in his heart. He may have taken a humble position, but he was really still more worried about what I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to get a blessing from this young rabbi. And Jesus could tell that his wealth was just too important to him, and he challenged him. Now, understand this. The rich young ruler understood exactly what Jesus said. It was clear. He knew what Jesus said and what Jesus asked of him. And make no mistake, he did not walk away a defiant, angry person. He walked away a sad and disappointed person. He came to Jesus with high hopes of feeling pretty good about himself, but those words of Jesus just froze him in his place. Mark also added in his account, he said, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus saw potential in this young man, and he wanted him to be his follower, but he also knew he was going to have to chip away some of the edges. The thing is, the guy didn't want that. He walked away. And you know what? Jesus didn't go after him. Jesus let him walk away. Jesus did not lower the bar. And he walked away, sad and disappointed. Jesus goes on to then talk about it's really hard for a rich person to get into the kingdom of heaven. So is it wrong to be rich? No. But it is difficult to focus on needing God when we pretty much take care of ourselves. And when we come to the realization that we really need God, it really needs to be on his terms and not ours. This is one of those cases where this wealthy man wanted to be blessed without being a blessing. The next guy we're going to look at, now go to the next chapter, Luke 19. Starting in verse 1, let's read this story about a little guy, Zacchaeus. You know, the song we learned in children, Zacchaeus was a wee little man and climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Okay, you get the idea. Okay. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, you come down. Oh, that's not what it says. Okay. Come down immediately, real close. He said, I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and they began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now, I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So here we have another wealthy man. But he was not a happy man. His wealth had not bought him happiness. He was lonely. He was an outcast. Nobody liked him. He had no friends. And he'd heard stories about this Jesus, who was the friend of tax collectors and sinners. And he just had to see him. He just wanted a glimpse of him. He was willing to climb a tree just to be able to get a peek at Jesus. Little did he expect him to stop and invite himself over for dinner. Who invites himself over for dinner? But Jesus did, and he was thankful, and he was happy. And his encounter with Jesus led him to say, Lord, I am going to be generous. I'm going to give what I have. I'm going to be a blessing to others. And if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to give them four times what I took. What a different reaction. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to your home. Salvation did not come to Zacchaeus because he gave away half his possessions. He gave away his possessions because he was lost, and now he's found. Meeting Jesus changed his life. And he was ready to go all in whatever he had to do to be right with Jesus and to be a blessing to others. You know, following Jesus is not a journey. It is a journey. I'm sorry. Following Jesus is a journey. It is not an event. And as you go along, you will discover that to be in a right relationship with Jesus really isn't about focusing on our needs. It's focusing on God. We need to keep our eyes on the Creator and be careful of how much we look at this creation. When you understand what it's like to be lost and lonely like Zacchaeus, an encounter with Jesus changes everything. And you will admit, I need something different. So many of us don't even know we're lost. And we give lip service that we've been found, but have we really, really entered into the right relationship with Jesus? Because when you confess your need for Jesus, and when you can pit your life to focus on Jesus, and you cling to Jesus in the times of need and hope, I think two things are going to happen. First, you will become content. You will become satisfied. Your priorities change. You don't need everything that you've had, or whatever you have you can use to be a blessing to others. And the Spirit fills you with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. That's how you know God's Spirit is a part of your life. Paul said it like this. He said in Philippians 4, 12 and 13, he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do anything, everything, through him who gives me strength. The second thing is you will become generous. You'll become content and you'll become generous. When the things of this world aren't your passion, aren't what drives you, and you just use them to be a blessing for others, it can be a very freeing experience. When you recognize that everything is a gift from God and it's a gift to be shared, not hoard. Paul said this to the elders at Ephesus when he was saying goodbye to them, and he was trying to remind them of the things that they need to know as they led people into the presence of the Lord. He said, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He goes on in Corinthians and says this. He says, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the saints. This is a situation where there's a poor church in Macedonia giving to a poorer church in Jerusalem. There was a regulation at the Jewish feast of Purim that said, however poor a man is, he had to go find someone who was poorer and be a blessing. And that is what Jesus came and said, this is important. And that's where Paul went on to say, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So when Jesus asked, or when he said, wherever your heart is where your treasure, wherever your treasure is where your heart will be, where is your heart? It really isn't easy in this world. The rich young ruler, he discovered that Jesus will not change to make it easy for you. Zacchaeus discovered that the love of Jesus is greater than anything he could ever own. I hope, and I know there's a lot of people in this room that are living generously in their life. You're wonderful examples to me, and I just pray that we can all understand the importance of living generously. And I want to wrap up with telling you the words of a song I came across. It's a country song, and so you can kind of listen to the words through a country filter if you can do that. I'm not going to sing it for you this time, but it's called My Cup Has Overflowed, and it's by Michael Combs. He says, I've never made a fortune. It's probably too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that much because I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Ain't got a lot of riches. Sometimes the going's rough, but I've got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for all his blessings on me and the mercy he's bestowed. I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup has overflowed. I think we need to be the kind of people that drink from the saucer. I think we've been blessed. I think there's a lot of things that we can do for other people. We need to live generously because that's what Jesus would want us to do. So I just want you to think about that. As we enter this time of communion, just a lot on my mind, and which is okay. I got a feeling that the last night that Jesus was with his disciples, there was a lot on his mind, and he was trying to help them understand and process this. There's been a lot to process here lately. Saying goodbye to people that I care about, and yesterday, and saying goodbye to Dave, and being with a lot of people that were here, and then you've heard, but I got news on Friday that Helen Brahmar, our oldest church family member, 98 years old, she passed away. And I was able to be with her on Wednesday, and 98 years of just loving the Lord and faithfulness, and we're singing some songs. She couldn't even open her eyes, but her lips were moving while we were singing those songs. Other people that I care about have been dealing so much going on in their lives. And I think that's what Jesus said to his disciples that night. He said, you know, trust me. Don't be discouraged. Just trust me. And those next 24 hours were rough. They were really rough. But Sunday was coming. He knew that. So as we remember things in our life, we need to look at the good. That Sunday is coming. So the sacrifice that Jesus made, that we celebrate here with the community, I hope this never gets old for you. I hope that, I'm glad we do this every week, but I hope it never gets old for you as you examine your hearts and you say, what? Am I living generously because I was lost and now I've been found? That's why Jesus came, to find you. So you think about that. You take that little piece of bread that represents his body. You drink that juice that represents his blood. Just thank him. And know that because of the resurrection, what was coming, we have so much to be thankful for because it changed everything. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you. We love you. You have blessed us. Help us to be a blessing. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.